Okay, I feel that maybe I would just like to say a word or two. I haven't planned anything, but when I was in Gates at Yeshiva, almost 30 years ago, I joined the Yeshiva, and the Mashgiach at the time was Ramat Tisio. In fact, for me, it was a little bit almost comical to see the signs hanging up in the street, the Levaya sign saying Ramat Tisio Solomon, the Mashgiach of Lakewood. We knew him as the Mashgiach in Gateshead. In fact, he was more the Mashgiach in Gateshead than he was the Mashgiach in Lakewood. But he was a Mashgiach for many, 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 many years. In fact, he was a Mashgiach from a very, very early age. He, in fact, spoke at my parents' wedding as the Mashgiach of Gateshead. If I'm not mistaken, when he passed away, he was 86. My parents had been married for 47, almost 48 years. So you can make the cheshbonos, he was in his late 30s and he was already the Mashgiach in Gateshead. He was a Mashgiach from a very, very young age. When I was in yeshiva, unfortunately, perhaps we didn't hold him in the esteem that we should have. Part of the reason, most of the time, he actually wasn't there. He was already an international Mashgiach. He was flying around the world. In fact, the joke was that when the announcement came that he's now moving to America, so the joke going around the yeshiva was, he's moving to Lakewood, so maybe we'll see him more often now in Gateshead. But he was very, very, he was very, very often away. I don't know, some of you may have met Rav Tzvi Bakst. Rav Tzvi Bakst is actually a mechutan of Avraham Jacobson. Rav Tzvi Bakst was the Mashgiach in Gateshead as well, in Gateshead Yeshiva Ketana. He was a Talmid of Ramat Tisio for 54 years. In fact, Rav Tzvi Bakst now lives here in Gimel. He's a member of our community, he's a member of our Kollel. And on that morning that Ramat Tisio passed away, he actually came to Kollel and he showed me his shirt. He had done Kriya. So he felt he was mamish a Talmud and he's going to give a hesped by us, actually probably in English. In fact, Ad Kadei Kach, Rabak told me that he flew to America twice with his wife to go and seek Eitzah from Ramat Tisio. He was that close. So I don't want to say hesped now, mainly because I'm not rolled to say hesped, but I'd like to say just one thing that I heard from Ramat Tisio. Like I said, I haven't prepared anything, but just one thing, I just hear him literally in my ears. I hear him, this sentence that he said that I'm about to share with you reverberating. He was a tremendous, tremendous speaker, as we all know, a tremendous Baal Tefillah. I remember him in Gateshead Yeshiva, he davened Rebbe Avraham before Yom Mechutton took over, Rebbe Avraham, Rebbe Gershon Fortune. So when I was in Yeshiva, davened on Yom Neroi, we davened Ne'ilah and Mariv and Musaf and Kol Nidre, did everything. Very, very powerful, powerful Baal Tefillah. But he was most famous for his Musa Shmuzen that he gave around the world. He was, the first speaker at any Aguda convention. He was a terrific orator and a tremendous Talmud Chacham, obviously, etc., etc., etc. One of the people who said a hesped at the Levaya, which I attended on Yerushalayim, was one of the Rosh Yeshivas in Gateshead, who himself is in his 70s. And he said, there's not a week that goes past that I don't listen to the Shmuzen of Ramat Tisio at least three times a week. He said, I'm still a close Talmud. So I just want to share with you one thing, which is very pertinent. It's pertinent to every single one of us without fail. I remember Ramat Tisio on one occasion, he gave a Shmuz in Yeshiva, and he was talking about what he called the moments of Hisoirus that we all have. We all have, every single one of us, from time to time, a moment of Hisoirus where we feel moved, we feel elevated. It could be as a result of a particularly moving tefillah. It could be the result of maybe a very powerful drasha. It could be the result of an inspiring Dvar Torah, whatever it may be, a person is moved, a person just feels this Oirus. Imagine the way we feel after Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, etc., etc. There are various moments in our lives. We wish there were more often, but we all have these moments of inspiration. And I remember he gave the following mashal. He gave the following mashal, and I literally just hear it ringing in my ears, even though I must have heard this from him. Tovshin Nun Zayin, 27 years ago. And he said, he gave the mashal of Reuven, who lives in a little town, and He works hard during the course of the year to try and collect various pieces of merchandise that he's going to sell one day in the big marketplace in the big city. And that's his big day, and that's how he gets his parnasa for the year. The only problem is that Reuven has no way of getting to the big city. He doesn't have a car. He doesn't drive. So he doesn't know what to do. He can't possibly afford to miss this day. If he misses this day and he doesn't find a ride somehow to get to the big city, then he's going to lose his parnasa for the year. So he's talking, he mentions a friend, and his mazel, his friend Shimon says, you wouldn't believe it. As it happens, I'm actually driving to that city on that very day, and I'm more than happy to give you a ride. Ah, unbelievable. What a hashkacha protis. You've saved my life. Otherwise, I would have missed the day. I would have lost a lot of pranasa. So Reuven says to Shimon, tell me, what time are you going? Shimon says, I don't know, to be honest. I'm a very, very busy man, and I cannot tell you whether I'm going 8 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning or 12 o'clock lunchtime. I don't know. But one thing I do know, that when I need to go, I can't really wait around. I've got to go. I don't know when I'm going to go, but when it's time to go, I'm just going to have to go, and I cannot just hang around. So please, please, please be ready. So he says, fine, I'll be ready. I'm ready to go. But tell me, how will I know when you're coming? He said, I'll drive down your street. I'll park my car outside your house. I'll give a honk on my horn. And when you hear that, you jump out, you run out your house, you come into the car, and off we'll go. But I'm telling you, I really cannot wait around. So if I honk my horn and I'm waiting in a minute and you haven't come, then I'm just going to have to go. Fine, no problem. Obviously, I'll be there alert. And Reuven goes home and he's so excited. He can't believe the Hashkocha protest. And he tells his wife, you wouldn't believe it. Just the day that I needed to go to the big city, and then I'm speaking to my friend Shimon, and he's going to give me a ride, and he's giving it to me for free as well. And Reuven then calls his parents. He says, you wouldn't believe it, Dad and Mom, listen to this tremendous Siyata Deshmaya. He calls his neighbors and he calls his friends, and he's busy calling and telling everybody about this tremendous Nes and what a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, yes, I've got to be alert. I've got to be awake. Make sure I don't miss my ride. There he is with his nose to the window, waiting to see Shimon's car rolling down the street. 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Eventually, guess what? 11 o'clock, he sees Shimon's car roll down the street. And as promised, he parks in front of his house. And as arranged, he honks the horn and is now waiting for Reuven to come into the car. And Reuven cannot believe this tremendous chesed. Look at the Siyata Deshmaya, the Hashkocha Protis. And he tells his wife, my dear wife, guess what? The car's come. I've been waiting for this. And he's honked the horn. And this is exactly what I needed. Look how kind HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been. I can't believe it. And once again, he calls his parents. You wouldn't believe it. Guess what? But not only did he promise to come, he's actually come now. And he's honked his horn. And then he alerts the neighbors. And meanwhile, Reuven's waiting in his car. Shimon's waiting in his car impatiently. And Reuven is still busy on the phone calling this one and calling that one and telling him and telling her. And eventually, Shimon looks at his clock. The minute is up, and he rolls on, drives out of town, and Reuven has missed his ride. And I remember Matisyo saying this moshel, and he said, you know, we all hear on occasions the honk of a horn. And what do? Sometimes we start telling people about it, instead of just getting out of the house and jump in that car. And I remember him screaming with all his might, and I still hear it reverberating in my ears. He said it in Yiddish. Medaft chappen de moment. You have to grab the moment. Medaft chappen de moment. You've got to grab the moment. We all have these moments. But what do we do when we have these moments? Do we go around telling people? Oh, what a drosh I heard. What a special tefillah, what a moving dvar Torah. Don't talk so much, he said. Emor ma'at va'aseh harbe, talk less and do more. This person, had he not told so many people about the ride, he might have actually had the ride, but he didn't. He was so busy talking about it that he never converted it. He never actualized it. And the opportunity came and the opportunity went. And that's what he said. Midaf chappen de moment, midaf chappen de moment. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, I think Ramesh Zelig, we learned this together once, when he quotes the famous line in Chazal, Yesh koine oilomoi b'sho achas. Some people are koine their world, they conquer the world in one moment. And as Reb Chaim Shmulevitz writes so beautifully, we all have those sho achases, but it's only Yesh shekoine oilomoi. It's not Yesh who have shor achas. We all have that shor achas, but who actually does anything about it? And a classic example, of course, would be Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who was ignorant until the age of 40, and we know Chazal tell us he saw the rock and the hole in it, and he made the kal v'chomer, if water can pierce a rock, and then obviously Torah can pierce the heart, and he went to learn. The critical word in that story, which is always overlooked, if you look in the Medrash adds one word to that story. And this is the word that's not always quoted. The Medrash, when it tells over the story, it says Rabbi Akiva saw the rock and hole that made a, the water that made a hole, and he made a kal v'chomer. And then it says, miyad, miyad, holach l'beis ha-medrash. He went to learn straight away. That's the key word. And of course, it's been pointed out that Akiva, how do you spell Akiva? Ayin, Kuf, Yud, Beis, Aleph, which is the letters of Yesh, Koine, Oilomoi, Beshor, Achas. Those are the letters Akiva. Akiva is the classic example of Yesh, Koine, Oilomoi, five words, Beshor, Achas. And that's the main word in that Medrash, Miyad. It doesn't say that he went around telling all his friends, oh, you won't believe what I saw today. Unbelievable, an inspiring scene. I saw a rock and I saw water. He didn't tell anybody about it. Just miyad, off he went. And he allowed and ensured that that shor achas would lead him to be koine olamoi. And this is a message that I heard personally from Matisyo, and it made a very, very profound impact. Like I said, when I was in Gateshead, those were the exact years that he left the yeshiva. I was there from 1995 to 1999. And if I'm not mistaken, at about 1997, 2 years into my stay, I remember very clearly as his car left the yeshiva for the last time and he was on the way to the airport. There was big dancing in the street to escort him, etc., etc., covered atayro. But either way, that was amongst many, but that was perhaps for me the most inspirational. Yesh koine iloma b'sho achas, and like I said, I still hear it in my ears. Midaf chapen the moment, midaf chapen the moment. We all have special moments. And really the avoid is not to talk about it so much, but just concretize it. Grab the moment. Mimis chazik. Make it something real. Convert it into a better avoidas atfila, or better commitment to kvias itim, or avoidas amidas, or diktuk mahalocha, whatever it may be. But less talk and more action. Midaf chapen the moment. Midaf chapen the moment. Okay, like I said, it's not a hesped. Chazal do say that the best thing you could say about somebody who's passed away are the words of the deceased. The words of the deceased. So these were his words, not mine. Midaf chapen the moment. Midaf chapen the moment. Okay, we're on Daf Chof Hey on the base. We're going to learn Be'ez Hashem a little bit more Gemara, and then I think we're overdue some Chazara all the way back to Mishnah Daf Chof Dalet. But I'd like to get to the two dots on the top of Chof Vav Amud Aleph. I'm not sure if we'll get there today, but either today or tomorrow, and then we'll spend maybe a couple of days doing Chazara. Chazara is always very, very, very important, as we know. So if you remember, we were dealing with the Braisa. The Braisa added a few examples, further examples over and above the Mishnah. The Mishnah gave four examples of those who are Posel Eidos. As we saw in Toi, says they're all Posel Eidos Midrabonon. And the Braisa added some more. And of course, the obvious question was, if the Braisa added more, why indeed were they not mentioned in the initial Mishnah? So far we saw one example, which was the Chamosin. Chamsonim, those who are taking items, but they are paying for it. So initially, why was it not in the first Mishnah? Because Chazal thought we don't need to make them postulators because after all, they are paying for it. But in the final analysis, eventually they did include it. They put it in the Brisa, if you remember, we dealt with this last time, because they saw that people are actually grabbing the article. It's not that they're convincing the seller to sell it. They're grabbing the article against the wishes of the original owner. They are throwing them money. Therefore, they cannot be considered out and out gazlonim. A gazlon is somebody who just steals and does not pay. This person does pay. But because they saw that people, unfortunately, are grabbing articles and then paying for it, but it's against the wishes of the owner, that's why they decided, after all, to incorporate it in the Braisa, and he becomes Postol Eidus as well. So we're up to the Gemara. It's the second line, the second wide line of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, Tana, third last word, Tana, Oid hoisifu aleihen. Now there are further additions. Horoyim, Roim are shepherds. Shepherds are also Postol Eidus. Why are shepherds Postol Eidus? As we'll soon see in the Gemara, because on occasion, and maybe more than on occasion, they are not particular enough with the animals under their responsibility, and they end up grazing in other people's fields. That's one example. Another two examples that they added were Gaboim and Muhsin. Gaboim and Muhsin. So what is a Gaboim? So have a look at Rashi. Gaboim, Rashi says, is Mamunin. What does Mamunin mean? Mamunin means appointees. Those who have been appointed. Sheheemidon HaMelech Ligvois Mas. That the king has appointed to collect tax. Umonas HaMelech, and other portions, other dues to the king, Ukakaraga Va'arnona. Here in this country, we have something called Arnona. Mi Yisrael Chavirehem, from other Jews. In other words, the king would issue an instruction that everybody's got to pay a certain amount of tax. How would that tax be collected? So there was somebody who was appointed to go and collect the taxes from a particular community. So in the case of the Jewish community, the king might have been non-Jewish, but there was somebody who was charged, that was his job. He was the gaboi, the gabai. He had to go knocking on doors from door to door. I've been told I have to collect some tax from you, and this is how much you owe the king. That is gaboin. What is muhsin? So muhsin is essentially the same thing. Muhsin, meches, is also a type of tax, maybe a different type of taxation, but it's a similar type of job. Now, why would these people be considered Postol Eidus? So let's see. Says the Gemara, Roim, in the case of shepherds, again, we always have to ask the question, why were they initially not in the list? And why are they being added? What did we think in the first case and in the beginning, and what's changed? So the Gemara says, Royin, may Ikara, from the beginning, the reason why they were not included is Savur, because it was held, Akroi Ba'almahu. Akroi, we've had this a few times already. Akroi means it was a mikra. It was just a mistake, a one-off. Says Rashi, look at the Akroi. Akroi, says Rashi, means Ma Shebehema Nichneses. That which the animal was at, was entering the fields of others, Lesodos Shalacherim, Veroya, and it was pasturing there, grazing, Akroihu. It was just by chance. Ve'ein horoya mischaven lekach. But the roya, the shepherd, was not mischaven. He didn't do so intentionally with any malicious kavana in mind. And just on occasion, maybe an animal wandered off, not in accordance with the wishes of the roya. It wandered off. It ended up grazing in somebody else's animal, in somebody else's fields. Therefore, initially, they did not consider a roya to be Postol Eidus because he's not doing so deliberately. So what happened in the end, says the Gemara, back into the Gemara. Meikara savor akroi ba'almahu. In the beginning, They thought it's a mikra, it's just a by mistake, it's a not deliberately intended. But kevan the chazu, but since they saw, Chazal saw, the komachavni, they've got kavana, they're deliberately doing so, v'shadu lechatchila, and they're actually sending the animals lechatchila into other people's fields. So you cannot say, well, it was a mistake and nobody intended it, they noticed. But unfortunately, things have got out of hand, and now people are actually deliberately sending their animals into other people's fields. So therefore, they decided, Gozri Behu Rabbonon. So they have to make a gzeira now. So that would explain why initially it was not on the list and why now it is. So that's in the case of Aroya. What about these tax collectors? Says the Gemara, Hagaboin Vahamuchsin. These tax collectors, again, what did we initially think? What do we now think? Me'ikara savor. In the beginning, we thought, my dekits lehu, that which was fixed for them, dekits means to fix, meaning that which was the official amount that they had to collect, kashokli, that's what they were taking. In other words, we didn't have any reason to suspect that these tax collectors were claiming excessive amounts and then pocketing some of it. We initially thought only ma de kits, only that which was being fixed. If the king has charged you 1,000 rubles, so they were collecting 1,000 rubles. We didn't have any grounds for concern, no reason to consider them posel eidus. However, kevin de chazu, but since Chazal then saw the koshokli yeseira, yeseira from the word yosa, when they started noticing that these tax collectors were actually claiming extra money, money which really was not due. And what were they doing with this extra money? Obviously, they were putting it in their back pockets. Therefore, poslinu, they would be considered posl. Says Rashi, yeserasa, three words, yoser min hakitzva, more than the stipulated amount. Remember, the guy who receives a knock on his door from the tax collector, it's not like nowadays, he has no idea what his official arrangement, how much he really owes the king. He didn't get an email, he didn't get a letter in the mail, there's no sign in the local newspaper. So whatever the tax collector says you've got to pay, he innocently thinks, fine, okay, so I guess that's what I've got to pay. And little does he know that actually the tax collector has put up the fee by 10%, and he's only giving the king that which the king has asked for, and he's added to it. So that's why initially they didn't passel him for edus, because they didn't think this was happening. When they noticed it began happening, they had to make a gzeira, they're passel for edus as well. Yeah.
These are all examples of outright gzeira. Why do we need
If you look in your art scroll, I think your art scroll probably asked this question. Why is this just not considered gzeira? If you knock on somebody's door and say you owe the king 1,200 rubles, and in fact you only owe him 1,000, and you're planning on pocketing 200, so why is that just not classic gzeira? Remember, we have never mentioned in any Mishnah or Brisa that an out-and-out gzeira is chayev, is posel eidus. So much so that in the previous Brisa, which actually did mention gazlonin, we had to explain, no, it doesn't mean simple gzeira. Means you took it away from a young child who found a metzia. It's not really his. You're allowed to take it. Darki shalom. We're not talking about a classic gzeira. I don't need a mishnah to tell me that. That's a pasuk in the Torah. So what about this case? A guy knocks on your door, claims extra tax. Isn't that just simple, straightforward gezel? Reb Larry, you have an art scroll in front of you?
Yeah, but it's the same thing with the roa. If you
same
are purpose,
what are they answering?
Look at Aram and Lot. That was
so what are they answering there in the footnote? Do they say anything there in the footnote?
I didn't look. Let me just see. I usually just stay on the Gemara side. I don't look on the English side. Hold on 1 second. 27. I don't think there's anything.
And I did see this question when I was looking at this Gemara over Shabbos. I don't remember now what the answer was. I saw 1 second. Yes, it is a lengthy Rabbeinu Chananel. Okay, Blineda, I'll double check this again to find out why they're just not straightforward Gazlon. Okay, back to our Gemara. Good question, Rabbi Larry. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava, we're on the sixth line, sixth wide line. Omar Rava. Roya Sha'omru. This Roya that we spoke about, this shepherd who is posel, Echod Roya Behemo. Dako, the echod roya beimo gaso. When it says that a shepherd is posel eidos, it means either he is a shepherd of a behemoth dako. We know there are two types of animals: small, tame behemoth dako, lightweight animals like a sheep, while as opposed to a behemoth gaso, a whole cow. So, what type of shepherd are we talking about? He's looking after sheep, or he's looking after cows? So Rava tells us, it sounds like it's straightforward, whether you're a Roya, Behema, Daka, Behema, Gasa, it makes no difference. All of these Royim, apparently they're all suspect. We're suspicious of all of them for the reasons we mentioned before, that they're going, allowing deliberately their animals that are under their charge to graze into other fields, and therefore they are posel eidos. What are they looking after? Makes no difference. Pemedako, Pemegasa, all the same thing. Says the Gemara, Umi Omar Rava Hochi? Question mark. Did Rava really say that? But Rava himself said another statement which would seem to be contradictory. Vaha Omar Rava, but didn't Rava himself say? Roya behema dako. If somebody is a shepherd of a small animal like a sheep, be'eretz Yisrael, psulon, special halacha in Eretz Yisrael, we'll see why in a moment, that he will be considered pasul, b'chutz la'aretz k'sherim, but roya behema gaso. In the case of a roya behema gaso, then you're always okay. Afilu be'eretz Yisrael k'sherim. Now, one moment. Why would we think that there could be a distinction between small animals and big animals? If the concern is the animals are going to wander off deliberately and graze in other fields, so what's the difference whether it's a chicken you're looking after or a sheep or a cow? What on earth would it make a difference? Yes, you're Larry.
Well, maybe it has to do with the amount they're eating is not considered xale. There's an amount that xale. If it's less than a kazayas, it's not a gzak xale. If it's
That's
more
the
than
problem,
a kazayas.
Behema gasas eat more than a behema daka, and yet they're the ones who are kosher. It says a behema gasa is kosher. So presumably, it must be that we understood that a behema gasa doesn't wander off. A lightweight animal, like a little sheep, can go here, can go there, but a cow just stays with me. He's not going to graze into other fields. We have a stira in Rava. Rava initially said that there's no distinction between behema daka and behema gasa. And in this braisa, he says there is a distinction. And a behema gasa is always okay. Even a behema daka was only a problem in Eretz Yisrael. Why was that? Says Rashi, Be'eretz Yisrael chamiri tfei, we are more machmir mishum yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Because of yishuv Eretz Yisrael, we are more machmir, even if there's a perhaps long stretched concern, far-fetched concern that maybe he's grazing and in other people's fields, but in Eretz Yisrael, we have to be more machle. But either way, and when it comes to a behema gasa, then he's always kosher leidus. That's an absolute contradiction to what Rava himself said, that we do not distinguish between a behema gasa and a behema dako. Says the Gemara, no, it's no contradiction. Hahu b'megadlin itmar. That's the end of the answer. Three-word answer. Hahu b'megadlin itmar. What is megadlin? Megadlin means to be megadel, is to bring up, to rear. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Megadlin itmar. Shemagadlin oisam bebotehem. We're talking about not just I do this as a job, I'm looking after your animals. We're talking about animals which are domesticated. I am being megadol them. I'm bringing them up in my home. Pafilo hachi be'eretz Yisrael psulin megadle behemadaka. When it comes to behemadaka, like a sheep, even though I'm looking after it, I'm rearing it, it's tamed, it's domesticated, but nonetheless, it will be postulatus. Why? The avida de meshamta, because sometimes it slips out. The meshamta means it slips out. Veriato l'toicha sodos and can jump into other people's fields. Avol gaso loy meshamto, but a behema gaso, big, huge ton of a cow doesn't just slip out. A little sheep will slip through the crack in a door, but a cow is easier to guard. Ve'efsha l'noitro, and it's possible to guard. So in the case of behema gaso, the reason why you are kosher le'edos is because there's almost no chance that the behema gaso is going to end up slipping out into other people's fields. Avol royesh emaron b'chutz be'efer shel yishuv. But if we're talking about a shepherd who's out in the fields, he's not megadil them. We're distinguishing between two types of shepherds. There's a shepherd who's megadil the animals at home. So then he's basically looking after them. So where would there be a concern? There'll be a concern in the case of the behema dako, because behema dako is harder to look after. It might jump out. But a behema gasa is easier to guard. And therefore, if you're the shepherd of a behema gasa, you're not posel edus, because we could say with rest assuredness that definitely the animal does not run out. But if you're not being megadil, you're not bringing up, you're not looking after these animals at home. Rather, where are you to be found? Says Rashi, Avol royesh shemaron bachutz. You're not at home, you're bachutz, you're outdoors, ba'efa shel yishuv, in the public, in the people where people are living, then a filu behema gasa is possible. Then a behema gasa is also possible. Why? Shenichneses besode shel achirim, because it can easily enter other people's fields. There's obviously a very big distinction between animals that are being brought up at home. So the only concern is, would they run out? And that is a concern only with the behema daka, not with the behema gasa. But if you're looking after these animals, not at home, but out in the open, be'efer shel yishuv, as he calls it, well, any animal could obviously just veer off here and there. Even a cow, we're not talking about a cow is in a barn and he has to open the door, et cetera, to get out, which is much less likely. But we're talking about it's outdoors, and therefore there's no stira in Rava. Do we passel a behema dako and a behema gasa, meaning somebody who's a roya of both? The answer is, it depends what type of roya. If he's a roya being megadil them bebatim at home, then it's only if he's looking after behema dako is it problematic, because that type of animal can easily slip out. Behema gasa does not. But if we're talking about, and that was Rava's first statement, Rava's, when Rava initially said that there's no difference between a behema dako and a behema gasa, he was talking about animals which are not being brought up at home. Rather, they're out in the open. And once they're out in the open, then there's no way you can keep control either of behema daka or a behema gaso. Any animal can veer into somebody's field, and that's why they'll be postulatus. We'll see. The Gemara is going to carry this on and brings a proof forwards and backwards. Mis Hashem, tomorrow, all being well, we will continue. We will reach the two dots at the top of Chavov Amud Aleph, and then we're going to press pause, and we're going to go back in Mis Hashem to the Mishnah at the bottom of Chof Dalad Amud Aleph. Whoopsie. The Mishnah of Chof Dalad Amud Aleph, and we'll do Chazara from a couple of days in Mitzvah Hashem.